Draw a picture of Jesus as a teacher. And if you take that picture and put it on my desk, you can have a piece of gum. Anyway, hope you're all having fun this morning. Everybody awake for now. We continue our series on what we believe, and now we're going to be talking about education. And I want you to understand, if you go back to some of the foremost colleges in America, even though they may not be Christ-based at all, if you were to go to some of their buildings and take the bushes that are covering it and push it back, you'll probably see a lot of plaques and dedications to the furtherment of the gospel in institutions that you'd say there's no way they have anything about Christ. And so as we go over the things about what we believe, we're looking at what we believe, not just as Baptists, but as Christians about education. I saw a quote today, and I put it on my phone, but it said this: God bestows the authority of education through Him. We receive the means to education, and in Him we find the ultimate object of education. So the ultimate purpose of education is to know God. And as you see in the music today, which I appreciate, and the title of the sermon is Know. And we need to ask the question, a lot of us are all over the map on how we feel about education. And then how we feel about education today, and I hate to put it this way, we all learn differently. And I'm not saying boys don't like school, but you know, in my experience, especially having three boys, it wasn't the thing that was the top on their list. It's not that they continue to do that. Everybody's different, but we all learn differently. But we all need to learn things. And so let's look at our article, and you might say, well, why? Or we as Baptists have what we believe about education, because just like the quote I said, education is to learn about God. And education on how we learn things should come from God. Christianity is the faith of enlightenment and intelligence. In Jesus Christ abide all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. All sound learning is therefore a part of our Christian heritage. The new birth opens all human faculties and creates a thirst for knowledge. Moreover, the cause of education in the kingdom of Christ is coordinated with the causes of missions and general benevolence, and should receive along with these the liberal support of the churches. An adequate system of Christian education is necessary to a complete spiritual program of Christ's people. In Christian education, there should be a proper balance between academic freedom and academic responsibility. Freedom in any orderly relationship of human life is always limited and never is always limited and never absolute. And so you may not ever thought of education being God-based, but you can go back to the formation of this country and how people learn things. And the Bible was one of the main ways to learn things in our American history. But then you get back to Jewish history and the fact of teaching God's word. It was the core of education. You may struggle, like I said, is it important to learn about God? And you know, sometimes, how do I know? I desire it, but I can't figure it out. And we can make a choice not to know God or make a choice to know God. And so today, your action step is know God. And your points will spell out the word know, K-N-O-W. And we're going to take a look at that. And we talked about last week the gospel and evangelism, and that we're to seek and save the lost, and education, that great commission that God left us. You know, the second part of it in Matthew 28, verse 20 says this: teaching them to observe everything I commanded you, and remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. So right there in our privilege that we talked about last week, what sometimes we ignore, we like verse 9, but we ignore 20. We need to lead people towards salvation, and then we need to live a life of teaching and learning more about God. We can never know everything about God. And it doesn't matter how long we've been walking with God, we can learn new things about God. And so your first fill-in is know God, know Christ. A lot of people would say, I want to know God. They have that desire because God put that in us, but we go back to Jesus, what he said in John 14, 6, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through me. We need to know Christ in order to know God. And so therefore, if Christ is not the center of education, then we need to understand this. I'm going to be really clear. We'll get into this a little bit more. I'm not telling everybody to go to a Christian school or to be homeschooled. I'm thankful that we have those options. But however, I mean, I went to public school. We've all done different things. But however you look at life, Christ needs to be the center on how you see life and how you're educated. So let's go here to Matthew again, Matthew 28, verse 20, teaching. That means to impart, and that meant to, and then the next, he said, observe. And that observe means to keep, to learn. And I talked about this year, the thing God's really laid in my heart is James 1, 22, be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. So he wants you to, we need to impart the things of God on people and in our lives, and then we need to be doers of that. We need to keep it. We don't, you just need to learn it. A lot of people, even the Greeks back then, were just wanting to learn new things. Oh, I know this new thing. I'm not going to do anything with it, but I know it, so I want to impress you. But Jesus is saying we need to teach these things, and then we need to do them. We need to observe them. We need to impart them. And what did he say? Everything, all that Christ had taught him and taught them. And you know, the disciples said they couldn't, a book couldn't hold everything they learned about Christ when he was here, but the Bible's enough to keep us busy for the rest of our lives. And what I like about the Bible is it's living and alive. And there'll be times we'll read Scripture for years, and until we go through that situation, then suddenly we understand that Scripture. We learn the lesson. We need to teach it all because He is our salvation. You know, a lot of times people will come to me and they want to be prayed with, and that's great. I'm glad I have the privilege to do that and help people. I use this verse a lot. I'm going to quote how I understand it, and then we're going to go what they have up there. But Psalms 25, 4 says this, show me the path where I should go, O Lord. Lead me along the road I should travel. And so many times people want to know the direction to go or what God wants them to do. This is what we do with education. I want us to understand. We study the Bible, we're Christian, we study the Bible, or someone presents the Bible to you like what we're doing today, and so then you hear God's Word, and that leads to salvation, and then when you're saved, you have the Holy Spirit in you, and you continue to study the Bible, and as you deal with situations in life, the Holy Spirit will bring that Scripture back up to you. They go hand in hand. We need to be students of the Word. But notice Psalms 25, verses 4 and 5 says this, make your ways known to me, Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. I wait for you all day long. Make me, teach me, guide me in your truth, God's truth, the Word. And where do we start? Well, Job, he said in Job 28, 28, he said to mankind, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to turn from evil is understanding. We're talking about a healthy fear. A healthy fear is respect that He is God and that we are not, that He has power to do anything, and that He loves us and sent His Son, but we need to understand He is God. And so a healthy fear of like, I don't know it all, and God does, and so therefore I'm going to listen to Him. Why is learning from the Lord best? Psalms 19:7 says this, the instruction of the Lord is perfect, renewing one's life. The testimony of the Lord is trustworthy, making the inexperienced wise. So it's complete when we learn from God, and it gives us new life because it leads to salvation, and it also leads to holiness, and it's trustworthy. It's the top. So why is learning from why are we learning from God? Psalms 119:11 says this, I have treasured your word in my heart so that I might not sin against you. We learn who God is, we learn what He's about, so we don't do the things He doesn't want us to do. We don't do them to be saved, we do them because we are saved, and we do them because we want to be closer to God. And so this is why we learn about God. This is why we learn His Word, to learn more about God. And when you love somebody, you learn about them. And if you're in any kind of relationship, you continue to change, and that person continues to change, and so you have to continue to learn new things. Where they're at in life. And so this is why. God, what are the things you're about? So we won't sin against Him. What happens when we learn, when we know the Lord? Proverbs 3:13 says this, happy is a man who finds wisdom and who acquires understanding. That word happy means that we're blessed. And so education is the base to know God, to know the way, to know salvation, to know relationship, and to be happy in life. Doesn't mean your life's going to be good, but you're going to be good with God, and that's what counts. And so don't you think knowing what God is about and what He wants is more important than everything else? And that's the place to start. The core of Christian education is knowing God. It's the gospel. We talked about it last week, the good news. We got to know God and be taught by God and to be saved by God. The gospel is the core of our education, the good news. The simplicity of we were made for relationship. That relationship was broken, and God sent His Son to die, to be buried, to raise from the dead, so we, if we choose, can be in relationship again with God. Your next fill-in, know God because we need to know Him. I would add, to live. We all know that there are certain things that are life and death. There are very important things that you need to know, or they could kill you or hurt you or someone else. And so what we need to understand, why do we believe that education is something created by God? Again, if you think I'm just talking about public school, I don't mean that. But God created education. He wants us to know about Him because it's a life and death kind of thing. How has God set us up to be educated? Well, a lot of you have the Bible with you today, that God's Word that was spoken to man, that God used their different personalities, that it wasn't just dictation, that they had to do it verbatim, but He used their personality through the power of the Holy Spirit to impress His Word and the Word that you have here today, that people have died for you to hold and to have in your hands. So you have God's love letter, the Word. Then when you receive Christ, or if a Christian is talking to you, you don't know Christ, they have the Holy Spirit, and so they can direct you in the Word, and the Holy Spirit can direct you in the Word. And then God developed the home before He developed the church, and then God developed the church. So you have about four factors that God has created for us to be educated about Him: His written Word, the Holy Spirit, the home, and the church. So let's talk about that for a little bit. The Psalms teach us to meditate, to think, and to study the Word. But I believe in faith and home. And I've got this thing called D6. It's not because I can't count or whatever, but it was something that God impressed upon my heart over 10 years ago. And it's based, we'll get into it in a little bit, in Deuteronomy chapter 6 in the Shema. It's the talking about as you go. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. You've heard that before. Well, that comes from Deuteronomy. But then Jesus says it in Mark 12, 30 and 34. And we see this: love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second commandment is just as important as this: love your neighbor as yourself. Faith at home. God created the family first. And guess what Satan's doing best? He's destroying the family. Because it's the foundation that faith should be learned at home. This is why our job as a church is to encourage and equip families and to take that part of the family, if they don't have that, not to take over it, but to encourage and equip. That's why it's awesome when I see families where a kid has come to Christ, and yes, they've heard about it here at church, but they're hearing about it at home, and they're seeing the example of their parents at home. And so faith at home, the core of education is found in, like I said, in Deuteronomy chapter 4 and through 6, where God told His people to be constantly teaching His Word. And it is our godly responsibility as we go home out. So let's look at Deuteronomy 6, verses 4 through 6. Listen, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. These words I am giving you today to be in your heart. So He's listening. He's first of all talking to God's people. So that's any believer. So that's talking to us. And He's telling us there's only one God. And there's only one true God. This is why the Word is important. Because those that call themselves Christians today, you need to go a little bit deeper and see if they're about this. Because most ones that call themselves Christians are not going to the fact there's only one God, and that God is the God of the Bible. Notice verse 5, love God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, with all our strength. We need to fully educate every part of our lives. It needs to be in our core. A lot of us have knowledge. Some of you, that made me sick in school, I had to work really hard, you know, and maybe as I matured, I was able to do better, but some of you came naturally, and you'd be in class with us, and it's like you'd learn something and then forget it, and you get the A, and let's not get into a grading on a curve, because I was always on the back end of the curve, okay, whatever, so it didn't actually help, you know me, but you're the ones we hated. I mean, we don't hate you anymore, we're with Jesus, you know, that kind of thing, but here's the deal. You would learn something, you'd forget it, and you'd get a good grade. Well, a lot of us as Christians are like that. We got knowledge. We learned something new. We read the latest devotional or book. None of those are bad, but you better make sure they are stuck in the Word of God. Because a lot of them say good things in way better ways that I can say, but they're not biblical. But we need to be fully educated in every part of our lives with the things of Christ and with the things of the Bible. We're to place the Word in our hearts at our core. And again, like we said in Psalms 19:11, your Word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. And so many times we learn the Word, we know the Word, but we don't take it to heart. It always makes my warning lights go off when I hear a church or those in leadership not start with, when they're dealing with any kind of issue, what does God's Word say? That's what it means to have God's Word in your heart, that you have a biblical worldview and that it guides everything. So, but notice verse 7, but this is not just one thing. Verse 7 of Deuteronomy 6 says, repeat them to your children. Talk about them when you sit in your house and when you walk along the road and when you lie down and when you get up. It's continual and you pass it and it's taught at home and you repeat it and it's as you go and it's as you live life. And I'm sorry, there's too many examples in life that if you do not talk about what God's Word says, your kids are left in confusion when we are silent. And I hate to say this, but there's too many examples in life where you better fill in the dots from what your kids and your family sees. I remember we were, you know, where is that at? Key West. I mentioned this before. I love cruises. I have to go to Wyoming now because I got grandkids. I love to go there, so that's where vacation goes. But I love cruises. I love the beach, all that kind of stuff. And so, you know, some of those cruises stopped at Key West. When we stop at Key West, I stay on the boat. It's not because there's not good key lime pilot there and maybe some good seafood, but there's a lot of nasty, sinful stuff there. And I'm not trying to pick on anybody, but I remember the last time we got off the boat at Key West and my kids were young and we were walking along and we were power walking, not because we wanted to, but because somebody with their sinful lifestyle was purposely flaunting it in front of my children. And so therefore, again, it's your kindness that leads to repentance. I'm not going to pick on them, but obviously I had to have a backup talk with my children later on what we saw there. I remember, I'll give you one more example. I love trout fishing. We used to float the Niangua River forever, and it was my parents' 50th anniversary, so they wanted to go down to Bennett Springs. That was our vacation that we always did as kids. We rented a place, and then we decided to go floating on Sunday. Oh, my goodness. I've never been to a strip club. I have never been any of those places. I've been in Vegas, didn't go to the bad places, but in Vegas, you just got to drive down the street, and you'll see whatever, okay? It was Sodom and Gomorrah on the Niangua River all the way. I'm not trying to be gross. There were inflatables. There were people drinking. They were doing anything and everything in and out of the water. And what I thought was the grossest thing was as we were... So I was power rowing. I think... No, we're serious. We didn't even stop. I am not even exaggerating on this. If we ever do a church float trip, we're going to have to do it at a time where everybody's hung over and they're not there. But that's how it's changed. But my kids, I am not exaggerating. We were like, I mean, we did the Niangua in 2 minutes flat, okay? And we're not stopping. I mean, my kids, we were rowing so hard, I think I hit one of them in the mouth and he got, you know, because, you know. But you got to have conversations. The grossest thing was as we were going, there was an old man sitting on the side of the river just enjoying the whole show. Not us, the other stuff that's going on. Guys, James Dobson said, if you fail to indoctrinate your children, somebody else is. And we don't like the word indoctrinate. We're not talking about brainwashing. But if you don't teach your children, what did you see there? What do you think God's word says? How do we deal with that? And so we need to understand that this biblical worldview is important, that we need to do it. Because you got to do it as you go. When you see something, what did you see there? What did you think about it? It's not just our children. It's not just our grandchildren. But this is why it needs to, we need to talk about it. We need to go to God's word 24/7. So your next fill-in, knowing God is an ongoing task as you go. Your pastor hasn't arrived. You haven't arrived. The topics that we're having to talk about and have seminars about on what God's word says, I never thought in my lifetime I would even ever have to address that. Now, is that a big deal? I don't like it, but this is where we're at, guys. And if we don't address what God's word says in it, then we leave question marks for everyone. We have to do this continually because we know God when we saturate our minds with God's word. We saturate our minds. That means, you know, that God's word needs to be a part of your life. You need to have it with you. For me, I'm not saying be me, but God laid in my heart not to show off having a Bible, but to carry His Word. That took years for God to lay that on my heart. But you, it's not specifically carrying a Bible if you don't use it, but the fact that you have the Word and you go to it, what does God's Word say? How do I handle this? What do I need to do? So you need to be in the Word. You need to be reading it. You need to be memorizing it. You need to be learning it. And then you need to submit to it. When God lays on your heart, this is why we have a time of invitation, or you do your devotion, or you do study. And when God convicts you, you have a choice either to obey or disobey the knowledge that God has given you. Education is how we learn about God. So therefore, it's from God, because God wants us to learn about Him. Because all truth is God's truth. And I had a professor in Bible college, in college tell me, never be afraid to prove that God is true, because if He's true, it'll always stand. See, a lot of people are afraid of that. If I go there, it might disprove God. Now, I'm finding when we talk about science and things like that, science continues to prove God true. And so just go for it. Keep learning about God. The Word is the standard we measure everything else from. The Word is the standard we measure our ideologies, our philosophies. Everything we think, we measure it by the Word. Now, some people would say, well, that's closed and narrow-minded. Well, I think everybody here has taken time to think about how they came to Christ. And I think we've got more smart people here than people that aren't. And you've taken the time, so you didn't just accept something, but you understood the point of faith where you had enough knowledge that you learned about God that you had to take a step of faith. And so don't worry about what others think. Let God's word drive your ideology, your philosophy, everything. God's word is the standard that all else is based on. So we call this a biblical worldview. And so anything that you see, can you imagine how the lost are? And how you were when you didn't know Christ? It is a scary place. This is a scary place even if you know Christ. But you know because of God's word what He is doing and how it's going to end. It's a biblical worldview. My standard, your standard, is to tell the truth, to live the truth, to be diligent in the truth. A healthy church, a healthy Christian, they are diligent to know God's truth, continually growing in God's word. You go to 2 Timothy verses 3:16 and 17 says this: all scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. How are you going to ignore that? All scripture. And right now we have churches and individuals that are taking out whole sections of scripture. Are there sections of scriptures that are not fun to teach on? Yeah, but I'm still called to let you know what God says. We're going to do a series after this. I don't know if it'll be right after, but it's called The Faves. And what it is I need somebody to make me a nice box, so come afterwards and let me know about this. But we'll have a box, you'll have a slip, you'll put your favorite verse and why it is. And I'm not going to preach on all of them, but I'll try to take some of them and preach on those when we do this. And then, so Dan and Julie knew about this because I wanted her to make me the slips, and Dan's not here today, he's not feeling well, so I'm going to pick on him. But the thing about it is, you need to ask Dan the verse he shared me, because I can't repeat it because it would embarrass you and me. But anyway, I'm going to have to look it up that it was in the Bible, but it was in Ezekiel. So anyway, we're not doing that verse at all. And I'm surprised that came from Dan. But anyway, but all scripture is God's word. It's good. It's beneficial to teach. It's beneficial to teach, to show evidence of God. That is called rebuking. And it's good for correcting and restoring someone. In other words, I think this, but God's word says this. You need to go this direction. And it's good for training, instructing, and growing up in God. Notice what it said, all scripture. All scripture is God-breathed, profitable for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness. And notice the goal in 17, so that the man of God, the woman of God, may be complete, equipped for every good work. How are you going to do the things you're doing unless you know God's word, unless you're in relationship with God, so he can give you and he always talks about that he brings his word up when we need it, and that happens to me over and over again, not because I'm a minister, but God, I don't know what to do, and then he brings back his word, here's what to do. And so the word... So then what do we need the word for? We need to be a doer of the word. Go to Ephesians 4, verses 13 through 15. What's the goal here? Until we reach unity in faith and the knowledge of God's Son, growing in maturity with stature, with a stature measured by Christ's fullness. Then we will no longer be little children, tossed by the waves and blown around by every wind of teaching, but by human cunning with cleverness and techniques of deceit. But speaking the truth in love, let us grow in every way into Him who is the head, Christ. So what is the goal of education? The goal is to become more Christ-like. The goal is to mature and to grow and to become more like Christ. And this is why we learn. And this is why we continue to learn. We need to grow up. We need to mature. We need to build up the body of Christ. And when we're focused on the same thing, the things that are in common in God's word, this is why we can have brothers and sisters from different denominations, because we get Jesus right. We get salvation right. And we get where we place the word of God right. We can be unified under the gospel. We need to be diligent in this. We need to be diligent in this is our life. This is our core. 2 Timothy 2:15 says this, "Be diligent to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, correctly teaching the word of truth." That is Paul talking to Timothy, a young preacher, and that is a charge to me, but it's also a charge to Christians. But I need to be diligent. You know, I need to make this a priority, and I try to. I know some people, despite popular opinion, think maybe this is the only time I work during the week, but I have a church that blesses me that understands about studying God's Word. And I tell you, I don't want to present you a happy meal. I want to present you a meal. And I've got to be diligent on what God's Word says and how to understand that Word. And it's not about education, because I believe everyone here should have a Bible degree, and I don't mean from a college. I mean that you are a continual student of the Bible and learning that. But diligent to rightly divide the Word of God and to present it unashamed. This is why we're here today. The Word, the Holy Spirit, home, the church. God established the church in Acts. The church is not the building. The church is the body of Christ. The church is the people of Christ. And so God established the church. So God wants us to learn from His Word. God wants us to learn through the Holy Spirit. God wants us to learn through the home. And then also God wants us to learn through the church. This may seem old, what I'm doing here, and this is not job security to say we always need to have preaching, but guess what? God's Word says we always need to have preaching. We see the example of the spoken Word. And that's not just here, and preaching gets a bad name, because like when you're talking to somebody about God, they're saying you're preaching to them, but you're gospeling, you're gossiping the gospel, you're telling the gospel. Preaching doesn't mean you have to beat somebody up, or you have to yell at them, or all those things. But this is a biblical thing, what we're doing here. All of the worship service is biblical. And I'm not trying to add a priority. It's not about me being better than people that do music, but let's take any individual out of it. God rates the speaking of His Word up here. And what we see here in the Old Testament, we're not going to get into it right now, but sometimes they would just read the Word of God. That's how important it is. So can you imagine? So you listening today, or at least trying to, this is proclaiming the good news. So this is a very biblical thing that God established. And let's go back to England. Let's go back to America. Let's go back to schools, even public schools that we have here. Schools started because of the church. Schools started because of the church's belief that God is the ultimate educator, that we need to educate about God, so people therefore need to be able to read, and the fact that God has given us a brain to understand these things. And so when you get back to schools, you also have the fact that Sunday school was started for, kids used to have to work, and very bad standards and stuff like that, and the only time they may have had off was Sunday, and so the church has provided Sunday school to teach about God's Word, and then also for those kids to learn basic skills. And this is how we have Sunday school today. And Sunday school has changed a lot. Some of you came early today, and we have Sunday school classes. And then we have small groups throughout the week. We have Wednesday night where we learn in here, and the kids learn out there, and the youth learn out there. And then also we have Bible studies, the women's Bible study on Thursday nights, the men's Bible study on Tuesdays, all different areas of small groups. Because, yes, you can learn here, but then when we get in that small group and we're learning from each other and we're commenting from each other, we need all of that. And so we really believe in what we're doing here. We believe in the spoken word. We believe in the education of Sunday school and discipleship and small groups. And the goal is to support evangelism, support missions. And this is for all Christians that we need to continue to learn. Yeah, I know you can learn on your own. But here's what happens, and I know the Holy Spirit can teach you on your own, but iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. And you know what? There may be some things that you tackle in God's Word that you don't understand, and we need each other. Or you get the knowledge, but you don't want to do the application. And God calls us to learn together, and so we need that. The church, so we support that. The church, we also send money for missions like this offering, that it supports other churches that can't have the funds that you bless us here to be able to do what we do. Education is important, because what's the goal of education? What I said, the goal of education is to know God. The goal of education is the gospel. But I want us to understand, this is where America got its schools. This is where England got its schools, is because believers believed that education was important for people to understand the gospel. Whether at home, alone, or at church, we are free to teach only the word, not our opinion. I was youth minister here 30 years ago, and I had a degree in Bible and wanted broadcasting. I wanted to be a televangelist, but the market fell out with Jim Baker and Oral Roberts and all that stuff, plus I don't have the hair for it. And so anyway, I have my degree in Bible. And a lot of people that get called in the ministry, they've been accountants, plumbers, or whatever, and then suddenly God calls them in the ministry, and so they go off to seminary to get their master's in Bible because their undergrad's not in Bible. Well, my undergrad was in Bible, so I got most of what seminary. So Mitch, who was the pastor here, I was going to go to seminary here. Nothing wrong if God called me to go to seminary here. But he helped us. He was trying to get rid of us anyway, but no, just, it's a joke, okay? But he helped us get to seminary. You guys helped us to get to seminary, and that's where I went to get a master's in religious education and then some things in counseling and those things like that. And let's talk about how you supported that. You had a pastor that believed, hey, let's help them. You had a church that supported it. And do you realize part of our offering that we give every Sunday, a percentage of that goes to pay for the seminaries that you sent me to, and you're benefiting, or you may not be, full circle with me being back here because you supported education. It's important. And because you're a Southern Baptist church, and if I'm a Southern Baptist, then the education and what we pay is like half, or it was a lot less because of that. That's important. That's why I'm here today, and thank you. And we really believe that. That is part of our DNA, and that's why that's a core. And so your last feeling, as we grow and continue, know the word controls what we know. So I went off to seminary. I didn't grow up Southern Baptist. I'm a Christian. I know why I'm a Baptist. And so I get there, and we'd only been there a few weeks, and I didn't know all the political stuff in the sense of seminary and stuff. And suddenly, our president is kicked out. They've got a new president. And this is when Baptists were dealing with the authority of Scripture, and there were some Baptists that didn't think the Scripture had total authority, that education didn't come from there. And so our convention was going through seminaries and our colleges and saying, if you don't believe that the Word of God is the core on how everything else is driven, then maybe you need to do something else. That's what this last point is talking about. That's what the last part of the article is talking about. Yes, I am free to do some creative things. I would do even more creative things if I probably get kicked out of the church. And so, you know, as far as getting the gospel out there. But I am not free to change God's Word. You understand? The methods change, but the message stays the same. We're doing a lot. Let's go back to COVID. A lot of you, I'm glad you're back, but we got comfortable being in our jammies and you looking at us up here. That's just a method. And we got the gospel out of there, and God moved a lot of churches forward through that. But the message stays the same. That's what this last part is. It doesn't matter how we do stuff as long as it's biblical and not sin, right? But God controls our knowledge. So the question I have for you today, I've got a few questions. How well do you know God? Well, I know of him. I know his name. I use it in vain. I'm just teasing, okay? But you know what I'm saying? But how well do you know God? Because you're totally designed and created to have a relationship with God. If you don't know him as Savior, you can have that today in a time of invitation. But a lot of you have a lot of knowledge about God, but has it gotten to the heart? How well do you know God? Most of us would say, I need to know God better. And that's abiding. And so take what you've learned today and say, hey, I'm going to do this. I'm going to study. I'm going to start doing this. I'm going to be a part of this. I'm going to learn Scripture. It's not about just the knowing. It's also, well, God, you showed me this. I need to actually do it to know you deeper. And the question I have for you, what do you need to live? What are you measuring when you make decisions in your life by right now? Well, God gave me common sense. Yes, he did. But there's a point where God and common sense part ways. And so, what is your standard for living? I am more convinced there are more American Christians that are not using the Word of God as their standard. And if you come up to me just to say, what does God's Word say? I'll probably punch you in the mouth if you're just doing that. But I'm saying your life needs to be the fact of everything you encounter, what does God's Word say? And guess what? If God's Word is silent, then maybe you need to not do anything and stand still and do what he's already told you. So what is your standard to live? And do you know enough? I don't. I don't care that I've been to seminary. I don't care all that kind of stuff. I am a student of God's Word because I'm in relationship with him and I need him to live. I don't think anybody here would say they know enough, but in your actions, you act like you do. I'm not saying because I'm judging you. I'm saying you know where you're at. And then lastly, where is the Word in your life? Is the Word in control of your life? I've explained why we view education as important. You may need to be like, oh, I need to start coming on Wednesday nights, or maybe I need to go to that men's group, or maybe I need to get one-on-one on somebody. But education is from God, and education is about God, and you start with salvation,